Welcome in on this Friday. Pretty nice day in Michigan. Always sunny skies down there, it seems like, in Florida. That's where former Wolverine Jerry DiOrio joins us. And, Jerry, it's great to see you. What's going on?
Great to be a Michigan Wolverine, Denny.
Well,
down here in sunny Orlando, Florida. Moved from St. Pete to Orlando, so
I'm just getting back from a Glick Field House where I was standing there in the end zone where they brought new Michigan defensive coordinator Wink Martindale in front of a podium to the assembled media, and Kirk Campbell right before that, Michigan's new offensive coordinator, also addressed the reporters that were there today. So that makes you feel like football is in the air, and practice officially starts on Monday, and the two coordinators spoke today. You know, Jerry is a longtime coach and then a player. You know, you get the off season, just getting down there to the practice field and just stepping on the field. Once you're off there, if you spend any time off of it, it kind of all those juices start flowing, and you're kind of right back into the swing of things. It fires you up a little bit.
Oh, absolutely, Denny. This is a great time of the year. You know, these guys that have been waiting for their turn, it's finally here for them. I mean, they've been sitting behind the Zinners and the Keegans and the Barretts and the Colsons, and now it's their turn. Now it's these guys' turn to make a pitch and make a presentation for their ability to be a leader and a starter. Denny, we're getting some comments over here. Was Juwan Howard just fired?
Well, I have just checked, and I can say that is, in fact, true, that Ward Manuel has announced that a leadership change would be made in basketball with Juwan Howard not returning next season. So let's do this, Jerry. We are going to talk about spring practice in Michigan football. We are not, you know, not going to talk about football. We will go through our thoughts on Michigan in the spring on both sides of the ball and special teams. But when breaking news happens and it's with Michigan, we go to it. So Juwan Howard in his fifth year does not end up being retained by Michigan. Let me ask you, is that a surprise from where you sit to hear the news about Juwan being out?
I could say it's a little bit of a surprise, Denny. I was, you know, obviously this year was far than less than expected. I knew we were going to be a little down, but I didn't think we'd be this down. And I kind of would agree with Ward. I think we do need to go in a different direction in basketball. You know, under Coach Beilein, I thought our fundamentals, our technique, our system was so well in place. The kids that were recruited fit the system, and so many times we outplayed people that had better talent than us with John Beilein. And you know, ever since Juwan's been there, it seemed like we've gone down a little bit every year, and this was not a very good year for Michigan basketball.
Yeah, you know, the first 2 years were so good for Howard, especially obviously that second year where they win the Big Ten. He ends up being coach of the year. He's got a mixture of John Beilein players that held over. He goes into the transfer portal and brings in two outstanding players in Mike Smith and Shaunde Brown. Smith starting point guard. Shaunde Brown, if they named a sixth man of the year, he would have been it. I mean, he was a remarkable, and just for one season, you know, people say, wow, he's a Michigan man through and through. You loved him. And then on the recruiting front, that year they had Hunter Dickinson, who was a star player for them, all-American type player. And then the year before, it was an international player, which was Franz Wagner. We know he had a connection with his brother, but you have to have all of these things going on. Can you recruit foreign players? What about the transfer portal? And then what about recruit? All of those things they hit on, and they almost made the Final Four. They came a whisker away against UCLA. But, you know, the following year, They went right down to the wire. They ended up getting in. They made the Sweet 16. So that was good in his third year. But last year was they fell off a cliff. Yeah. It was a terrible season. Yeah. And then this year, the record speaks for itself. It was the worst year ever for Michigan hoops. And you have a hard time surviving that. I know there were some people who thought it was a little cold because Howard had the heart condition and that he had missed the summer with his team. And then heading into the fall, he wasn't there on the bench. But you know, I tried to say, look, basketball and football, you know, it's a big, it's Michigan, you know, and all of that. And, you know, he was a Michigan man and people, and he loved the university. So there is that side to it, but it's a big business. And the part, it is ruthless, but if it was last year, I thought that would have been premature. He had this year. And even though he wasn't 100%, this gets into the spot where if things might not be so fair overall when you're talking about everything that went through it, but these guys also are really well compensated for, you know, this kind of spotlight and the position that they're in. You know, Juwan Howard wins more games, and they might be talking about one day naming the court after him, and the riches would follow. And, you know, he knows that as much as anybody else. So I thought that this had to be done. I'm glad that Ward Manuel did make this decision about Juwan Howard being out, and now Michigan moves on.
You know, I wish him well. I hope he lands on his feet. He was a great player for Michigan, and I enjoyed watching the Fab Five and those 3 years that he was there. Great player, and the first 3 years of his coaching career here at Michigan were very good. So, but these last 2 years, and there's some other instances that I think really hurt him. And you know, I'm with you. I think it was the right move. It's unfortunate that we had to let go a former University of Michigan star, but I think it's time to move on. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and you wish Juwan Howard well. Right off the bat, I'm going to throw some names, Jerry, when I'm done. Anybody that's on the feedback, you're welcome to put a name down. I'll give you some. This is not something that is a big surprise, so people have been thinking about coaches. And the first one, and I don't, you know, I was going to say, you know, people don't laugh or think that, you know, hey, you're stupid for bringing up these names. I'm just throwing these names out here, and then I'll give you the likelihood or not that they're coming in. Jay Wright left Villanova, winning championships, and now he's comfortable doing his job at CBS. Ward Manuel places the call, even though you feel like there's zero chance of getting him. He's out there. He's still relatively young. He's one of the top coaches in the game, calling him up and saying, hey, we'll make you the highest paid coach in college basketball. I think that's due diligence. Maybe Ward already did that, and Jay said, look, I'm done. But I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is John Beilein, who is in his 70s now, 71. Would John Beilein want to come back even for a year or two and then name his successor? I think that is also something I would do if I was Ward Manuel. And I hear people that would say, look, he got out of the college game because he didn't like how the transfer portal was happening. He doesn't, the NIL was not for him. And that's why he got out. And I would say, yeah, I think you're right about that. I do know that he still lives in Ann Arbor. He has stayed in the coaching game. He's a brilliant coach. So that would be the second call that I would make. You have any thoughts there on John Beilein, the former Michigan coach prior to Juwan Howard?
I like both of those phone calls, Denny. I think the guy at Villanova, right? I think the main reason, like you mentioned, was NIL and transfer portal, and the reason why he got out. But when you're in the coaching world, it's hard to get that out of your blood. And yes, it's a neat, you know, this transfer portal is horrible. This NIL is horrible. I got to get out. And then a year or two later, you start looking at it and saying, you know what? I miss being in there. I miss being in that competitive arena. And so I think it's a worthwhile call. I definitely would call him. And John Beilein, if we remember correctly, the techniques, the abilities, the teaching, the fundamentals of his basketball team were so good and so well coached that he got more out of his players than I thought they had. And that's why our teams under Beilein made it so far in the NCAA tournament, made it and got back. Remember, when Beilein came in, Michigan basketball was pretty much a joke. I mean, we were coming off all the probation and year after year and coach after coach not finding a formula. And then John Beilein comes in, and all of a sudden, you know, we got a system in place. Kids are fundamentally sound, fitting into the system, and it blossomed from there. There were many games where we had Michigan State, and I'm thinking there's no way we can win this game, and we win. And, you know, you look over the record, and it's almost like 500 with Beilein against Michigan State. So those are two great calls, I would support both of those calls, Denny.
Yeah, I think the next thing that you get to, Jerry, is that there are certain coaches that are out there. Some of them, and I'll say, you know, the baggage, and I'll give you the little baggage. I'll give you the instance. But the other thing that goes with it is also buyouts. And I've looked at them, and the first one that comes to mind is the coach at Alabama and Nate Oates. Nate Oates coached in the state of Michigan in high school at Romulus, so he has that connection. Then he went to the MAC, and then he's gone down to Alabama. He is an excellent coach. Now, he has a buyout. It is at least $10 million. It could be 12. I looked in there. It depended on when that hit, but it's at least $10 million. Is Michigan, in addition to writing Juwan Howard a check for $3 million, are they ready to give one of the biggest buyouts in the history of college basketball to Alabama and Nate Oates, if that was something they want to do? In addition to the gigantic buyout, Jerry, last year the Alabama basketball team had a situation where there was a murder, and the players, the star player, transported a gun to a player, and people know that situation. The Miller situation, who is now Brandon Miller, was drafted, and he is playing with the Charlotte Hornets. But Nate Oates was not 100% forthcoming with everything that was going on with his star player, and he took a lot of criticism for it. It was one of the major storylines heading into the tournament last year. So there is some baggage there in addition to this gigantic buyout number. Shaka Smart is at Marquette. Didn't have the greatest time, greatest tenure when he was at Texas, but he's doing a good job at Marquette. He also has a gigantic buyout number. There's another coach that I think automatically I would say, yes, this would be, he really fits Michigan. He has made his way up through the ranks. He is at Iowa State right now. And the Cyclones, they are still in the Big 12 tournament. They have beat Houston this year. They've had success. The TJ Otzenberger, he also has a gigantic buyout. So I've paying that amount of money, so you say, yeah, Otzenberger would be somebody I would want. But what about putting, is realistic or not, you know, Smart, Oates, Otzenberger, these kind of coaches, Jerry? What's your feeling when I throw all of those different scenarios out to you?
Well, you know, I like I said, I liked your first two calls with calling some of the old guys and bringing them in and seeing what their interest is. I think it's not a bad idea to look at some of the upstart programs, and I'm not talking about the Iowa States or the Alabamas, but somebody in a MAC school or off of the some of these other conferences that are making a name, getting the experience. It has a system in place. I think what you really want to look for in a coach at this point in time is somebody who's going to come in, have a system, have what knows what he wants to recruit for that system, And his teams are fundamentally sound. If we remember John Beilein's teams, and I think this is the biggest problem that Juwan Howard's teams had, and it was the turnover margin. Beilein's teams did not turn the ball over, and turnovers in any sport are crucial. Teams that win the turnover battle win ball games. It's that simple. It means more possessions for your team to score. That's what the turnover battle means. And when I looked at John Beilein's team, it was remarkable, some of the statistics on the turnovers that his teams were doing, both offensively and defensively. The way they protected the ball on offense, the way they took the ball away on defense. And I think that's what you want to look for. The fundamentals, the discipline of that program that this guy is coaching at currently. I don't think we necessarily need to go out and buy out somebody for $10 million. It's proven somewhere else. Right away, he's got more pressure on him coming in. I think we want to look for somebody who's exemplified that teaching ability where his system works, it's disciplined, it keeps the ball in our position, and takes the ball away from the opponent. And his teams are disciplined. So that's what I would be looking for if I'm looking at looking for a head basketball coach.
Let me throw then three coaches your way. One is right in the Big Ten. He coaches at Northwestern, Chris Collins. Now,
absolutely.
What Collins has done at Northwestern, we know the kind of situation that they are in with transfers and academics. Michigan has, I don't know, somebody says Michigan is not as tough to get into. Look, I'm talking about transferring in. Michigan has admissions that it's difficult to get transfer players and transfer credits into Michigan. Collins has dealt with things like that at Northwestern. To me, he would be a fine choice. Obviously, his dad was an excellent NBA coach and player. Chris, Duke and then Northwestern. I know a lot of people hate Duke, but, you could do worse than Collins. You mentioned going to the group of five or the lower tier, and the Missouri Valley in the championship game this year, it was Drake and Indiana State. And the Indiana State coach is named Josh Schertz, and the Drake coach is named Darian DeVries. Now, these are two coaches that both have excellent resumes, and they are looking for a bump up. Looking at these guys, it's also one of those things where you're taking a look at and you're saying, hey, we're going down into the minors or level below, and we're bringing somebody up. There's two names on here. I had a short list, Jerry. This is a kind of a long list that I have. This was from months ago. I don't have Otzenberger from Iowa State, who would now be in my top three. But Lamont Paris at South Carolina, he was just given a gigantic raise and has an extension at South Carolina. So I believe he's going to be out of the picture. Greg McDermott at Creighton, same thing. He was on my list of three who I wanted to see if Michigan was going to go in another direction, but they have just given McDermott a gigantic contract as well. So I don't think that those two guys are going to be in the running. The third player on there, or the third coach, I should say, is Wes Miller from Cincinnati. Now, they just upset Kansas two nights ago in the tournament. I believe that's how it went down. And so here we are with Wes Miller and a chance to look at it and to see. I'm sorry. It was Cincinnati. It was Cincinnati that beat Kansas. Now Kansas had their players sitting down.
Right. Exactly. I didn't mention that.
I do think the name Dusty May.
And that's the one I was going to go to, Denny. And what he did last year with FAU, he obviously knows the transfer portal. He knows how to work the transfer portal. His team was pretty experienced. If I remember correctly, they had some age on that team last year. And when you get those guys at 23, 24 years old playing against 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, you got an advantage. And so I think Dusty May has worked that transfer portal and knows what he's doing as far as that's concerned, and getting those players in there even at a late stage. So I kind of like that Dusty May name.
Yeah, May, if you've looked at who is open right now in terms of college basketball, Louisville, the job at Louisville is open. The job at Ohio State, I know their interim coach has done a nice job for the Buckeyes, but I think that they will be looking for a head coach as well. And then Michigan. So Dusty May, Louisville, Ohio State, and Michigan. May was a student manager for Bobby Knight. That's how he started out. The Hoosier fans, they're all screaming about Mike Woodson, who they are bringing back and who actually won last night, and they're still alive in the Big Ten tournament. But they all want Dusty May. So if you're looking for a big name besides the guys with the gigantic buyout and everything else, Dusty May's team followed up last year's Final Four appearance and this year with a record of 24-7. They're an outstanding team. They look good. He is a hot name. So May, I would also put in the mix. Wes Miller, somebody that I like there. May, Wes Miller, and I would also say the coach at Iowa State, Otzenberger. And then if I'm going beyond three, I then go to the Missouri Valley coaches in Schertz and DeVries at Indiana State and Drake, respectively. I'm going to ask you this question, and I don't know if you know the answer. I don't think you do. But if you're the athletic director and you're Ward Manuel, you have thought about this day for some time now. You could say for a couple months. You could say but it's been at least a couple weeks. So he will have an idea behind the scenes on some of these coaches and whether or not he is going to have a shot with them. Would you agree that Ward behind the scenes has been maneuvering and that he will likely already have his list and some pretty good idea about who he can land?
No doubt about it, Denny. This was not an easy decision for Ward Manuel. I guarantee it was not an easy decision for Ward Manuel. There's a lot of things that went into this decision. I mean, he's been working on this for I would bet at least a month on. First of all, I've got to dismiss a great, great former football, basketball player at the University of Michigan, and a coach that had some success, and a coach who had a health issue this year. So that is part of it. And then who am I going to get to replace him? No, this was a decision that does not go over easy for anybody. When you're making a change like this, this is not an easy decision. And I guarantee you, he'd been working on this for a while.
Here's a couple other factors. And we are going to talk some football. Mark wants to get into some hockey, which I'll give you a note on coming up, Mark. I'll try not to forget about that. So the news about Juwan Howard, it just came down at the top of the hour, being out as the Michigan coach. And so now we are talking about the possibilities of replacements. Just like football this year, Jerry, if Jim Harbaugh stayed around, he was going to have a new quarterback, and he was also going to have to replace a 10 starters on offense, and he was going to face the toughest schedule in the country. Whoever the next Michigan basketball coach is going to be faced with this admissions situation, with having a difficult time getting top transfers in. That's not changing. Michigan is not of Santa Ono, the Regents, the Michigan alums, by and large, do not want to change the admissions and open the floodgates where, you know, the transfer credits can get in. Now, you might not like that as a basketball fan. Jerry, you as an alum, you may like that, you know, having those academic standards, but that is the number one thing. The second thing is, and it was just put up here on the feedback by Dave, he says you can bring in Pat Riley, but without name, image, and likeness, it doesn't, I think he was going to say, really matter. And there's no doubt that that's part of it. The next coach that comes in, and this is what Sharon Moore is going to have to go through, You have to be as much as a politician. You know, they're, what are they doing on the phones? They're, you know, getting the people ready. They're trying to get money. They're raising money. Whoever this next basketball coach is, there needs to be, he needs to get on that phone, smile and dial, and start talking about, yeah, we need to fill up the coffers because we need to be going after players. And it's tough to get foreign players in because of the tests and things they have to go through. It's also, we just mentioned about the admission. So the high school players, and they are a big piece of it, you know, is they want money. So, you know, we can run away from it and say, no, we just want guys that want to play for a degree. I don't know. So whatever you want to say. So there's a lot to that, Jerry. Admissions and then raising money for NIL for this next coach as well. Take a swing at that one.
Well, Denny, that's one great thing about the podcast. We get thrown things as things are happening live. So you got to be kind of sharp on your feet. Admissions at Michigan, getting in, you know, I think recruiting out of high school is a little bit easier than bringing transfers in as far as the academic standards for Michigan. I mean, you've got to come from a pretty good school and you've got to have some credentials to get into the University of Michigan if you're transferring in. So, yes, that is a huge impact or a piece of the puzzle that you have to solve. You know, Denny, when I was being recruited, one of the things I looked at, and that was eons ago versus today and how things have changed. Now I would definitely be looking at money. But the other thing I want to look at as a recruit is what's my competition at this team, at this school? How many offensive guards do they have? How many offensive guards do I have to beat out to get on the field? And when am I going to get on the field? So looking at the roster is also part of the puzzle there, Denny. And I think the next Michigan coach can be very successful bringing high school kids into the school because I think it would be a little bit easier bringing those type of players in.
Nice thought. So the news just happened 27 minutes ago. We find out Juwan Howard is officially out as Michigan basketball coach. I'd say, you know, everybody's going to have their names, but to me, Wes Miller at Cincinnati, TJ Otzenberger at Iowa State. Those are the two guys that are going to be at the top of the list for me. And this is after going through, you know, the different list of players. Collins would also be if I had a top three. And then after that, if I'm going deeper, Indiana State's coach and Drake's coach, I would definitely be taking a look at. So there's five for you. Otzenberger, Wes Miller, Chris Collins would be my top three. And then the coach at Drake and the coach at Indiana State, there are my top five. Knowing that Lamont Paris at South Carolina, who wasn't my top three, and the same thing with McDermott, those guys just in this last week or so were given huge raises and signed extensions at South Carolina and Creighton, respectively.
Let's not forget one thing, though, Denny. May down at FAU.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
May down at FAU has an understanding of the type of academics that Michigan is expecting from its student-athletes being in Indiana. So he knows that environment and what the parameters are. So I'm
you're Dusty May. That's all right. I like it. You're learning from the general Robert Montgomery Knight. That is that's a pretty good start on your resume. And then having the success at a place like FAU last year and then following it up again this year, I he might be the hottest name out there. If you're saying who is the hottest name, Dusty May could be. Would you rather go to, I don't know, Jerry, I'm going to ask you, you're not going to say Ohio State, but I'm going to put Ohio State in there. Would you rather just think about the basketball and who loves basketball and everything else? Would you rather go to Michigan, Ohio State, or Louisville if you were Dusty May?
If I'm Dusty May, would I rather go to Michigan, Ohio State, or Louisville? Well, you know what my answer is going to be, Denny, because I'm biased as hell and smart as hell at times. So my number one place would be Michigan. But if I got Ohio State or Louisville to go to, I think my place is Louisville.
Yeah.
They've got the tradition. They've got the basketball tradition. The school has become more of a football program, more of a football school. However, Louisville is basketball. I mean, I grew up with the Skywalkers from Denny Crum's teams and all those
never,
guys.
Never nervous Purvis.
What was the one Sky?
Moncrief, was that who was there?
No, I think Moncrief was there, Arkansas, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
But gosh darn it, who was the one guy that
Never nervous Purvis Ellison took the Cardinals and Denny Crum, I think, to their last national.
Maybe that was it. Yep.
Purvis Ellison.
Yep, maybe that was it. But I thought it was somebody before him. But Louisville would be the basketball program. If you want to go to a school where you're not competing with the football program, because that's what basketball coaches are going to do. They're going to look, am I competing with the football program?
Right.
And one of the reasons, if I remember correctly, Orr left Michigan to go to Iowa State. And so Daryl Griffin, that was the name, right? There you go, Freed.
Nice job, Reed.
Right, there you go, Reed. But that would be one thing I would be looking for as a coach. Am I going to have to compete with my football program for identity? And so that would be another thing I would consider if I'm a coach.
Good stuff. I have to send a text right here, right quick. So give me 1 second. I can talk and text at the same time. It is not loading. All right, there it is. Sorry about that. There it is. Give it another try. I've got something that, trying to transfer over. And these coaches from down at the press conference today, I knew when I was down there, Jerry, I said, maybe they should just run, something over there at Michigan with basketball. You know, we're already all down here for football. Why not just have something for basketball? But they didn't want to do that. When Steve Fisher was back in the day, I can recall being at that press conference right there. They did it at the it was kind of off campus, but close enough where it was right there over by Chrysler. I forget what that building is called, but that's I guess they're going to have a news conference over there, but that's it. All right. The final thoughts on basketball. There they are. Juwan Howard out. We have a list of names. Good luck on. Thank him for, the time there. First 2 years, fabulous. Kind of the way it goes in the big business of college basketball. And the excitement now of who Michigan will get. We'll see how that goes. So good job with that. All right, so football starts practice on Monday, Jerry. And let's start with the offense. They bring just one player back, but he is a good one, one of the best in the country, and Colston Loveland. So other than that, you have to get quarterbacks and a line. When people say to you, wow, is this team in dire straits because they have to replace essentially the entire offense, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I would put Donovan Edwards in that realm of coming back. I think Donovan is been on the field plenty of times in key situations, made huge plays for Michigan at least the 3 years. I mean, remember, he was the one who threw the ball against Iowa and broke that game open in the Big Ten championship when he was a freshman. So I would throw Donovan Edwards' name in there as well with Loveland. As far as the offensive line is concerned, I'm feeling very good about the offensive line. The big thing coming out of spring ball, here's what spring ball is all about. It's competition. That's what spring ball is all about. And that's what these, and that's the beautiful thing about our offense this year. We've got a lot of people competing for these jobs. You've got 6, 7, 8 offensive linemen that are very strong, and they're going to be competing to get in that top 5. And so I expect a lot of hitting and a lot of intense practices in the spring from the offensive line. Tight end, I think we're good with the one. We need some other ones. And this young man coming out of I think it's Clarkston.
I know Priestcorn. You like him.
Priestcorn. I like him. I like him a lot. He's a big target. Reminds you a lot of Loveland. And I would not be surprised if he comes in and is able to block a little bit right off the bat. I do think we do need to. Klein has got great hands. He's got great skills. I'm a little bit concerned with his blocking ability. I would like to see a little bit more depth at the tight end position. I'd like to see some people working in there a little bit more tight end. Receiver, I think we're gonna be fine. You got more coming back. You've got the youngster. What the heck is his name? Why am I forgetting
Morgan?
My guy that I like during the season all year. So I think we've got Shamaj Morgan I think we've got some real talent in the wide receiver position. I think there's going to be a solid competition at quarterback, and I think we're going to come out with a solid quarterback. Whoever wins that position is going to have to beat out 2 sound backups and is going to have to prove themselves. And so even though we got Texas early, and that's a tough one, that's going to be a tough one for a new quarterback, I like our quarterback situation. I think we've got our quarterback on our roster right now. I think Michigan's quarterback for 2024 is on the roster. And you can look to Daniels, the new one coming in from out east, and the 3 we have. That's solid, solid competition. If you win that job with those 4 competing, I think you've done some. And so offensively, I like where we're at. I think we've got a lot of competition going on this year, and I've got a feeling spring ball on the offensive side is going to be very exciting. Defensively.
We'll get to the defense here in a second. Kirk Campbell today, Michigan's new offensive coordinator, noted that he saw Donovan Edwards yesterday, and he looked like he was in great shape. So that was nice to hear. He also said that Edwards had given a talk after whatever they were doing, and he said it couldn't have gone any better from what he heard from Donovan Edwards. So a little leadership there, giving everybody a pep talk, hearing that from Donovan Edwards. Also with the quarterbacks, when they start on Monday, of course, the offensive coordinator was going to be asked about the pecking order and all of that, and he said they're not drawing straws or anything about going first. They'll go alphabetical about how they're going to line them up to get the first rep in the first day on Monday. So that'll be Jaden Davis just getting the first reps in front of Jaden Denegal with the Ds. But then after that, we are to Orgy, Tuttle, and Warren. Warren will be the last with that W, and then they'll evaluate the tape and they'll go there. I asked 2 questions to Campbell. One was about who was the best passer out of the QBs. He elected not to answer that question, but I asked him about what Orgy brings to the table as a passer, and he said that from the time that Campbell started as an analyst when Orgy came in to where he is now is night and day as a passer. Also noted that he is an excellent leader, which is no small thing when you're a QB. So Orgy had that. One other question I slipped in there to Campbell was about completion percentage. What kind of completion percentage does he want to see from his quarterback? And he said the number 67%, which I thought was an interesting number to pull out, that's what they were looking for, the goal for whoever is going to be the quarterback for Michigan. So 2 other points Miles Hinton, who did get a start at left tackle and then played right tackle, sounds like he's going in as left tackle to spring. And Josh Preeb, who was the guard at Northwestern, he did say he would also get some snaps in at center, but he mentioned they did like crimping. But you do that, don't you, in spring? You'll try some guys at some different spots, and that doesn't mean that Preeb's going to be the center and they're down on crimping, or they're even down on Anderson or the depth chart there. Just that they'll work some different guys around, Jerry.
Yeah, that's what spring ball is all about, Denny. This is a great time. I hated spring ball, especially at the end, you know, once the position was won. Spring ball is tough on players, but it's a great opportunity for coaches to evaluate your team, know where you're at. Remember, our offensive line is going against maybe the best interior defensive line in the country coming back next year. So these guys are going to be well-versed and competing against some pretty high-level talent on the opposite side of the ball. They're going to get some real good reps. And, you know, these coaches, that's what spring ball is all about. Find out who your ones and twos are, who's going to be competing come in the fall. And I just like where we're at on the offensive side. This is where you want to be. You're coming in with a very inexperienced team. I think we've got the bullets already loaded, ready to go.
Right. How about over on the defensive side in the spring? Michigan very strong in a lot of positions here. Wink Martindale spoke officially for the first time in front of the media today. So the new defensive coordinator, entire new defensive staff, but they got a lot of familiarity with the players and the scheme with the players that are returning.
Danny, we could be real good on defense. And when I say real good, I'm saying real good compared to this year's defense. And that's hard for me to say because that defense last year was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, to allow teams 10 points in this era, I don't care who you play at the beginning and who you play at the end, under 14 points average is absolutely phenomenal. That's dominant. And it was professional. And we have a lot of guys coming back from that team. And that's got to be the scary thing that these teams in the Big Ten and these other teams that are going to play us, they've got to face that. And they're coming. And now we've got Wink Martindale, the guy who taught Minner, the guy who taught McDonald that Baltimore defense. I think we could be very, very good on defense and maybe even better than last year.
Okay. Well, hey, way to swing there with that last one. Yeah, I don't doubt it. In 2021, when they had the Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo and Dax Hill, I didn't think there was any way in 2022 that they would be a better defense. And statistically, they were. And then they followed up last year being better than they were statistically in 2022. So you telling me that you think they could be better here, I'm not going to tell you that you're crazy on that. Not when you've got the best defensive tackle and the best duo of defensive tackles in all of college football and Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant.
And don't forget Benny. And don't forget Benny.
I'm not going to forget about him.
Okay. So you've still got that four-man rotation at the one and three right there in the middle. You've got a solid gut from the beginning of the line of scrimmage, right up the gut. And that's going to be tough to go against.
Right up the gut with Ernest Hausman and the transfer from Maryland, Jayshon Barham. And then, of course, at safety, that's got to be the most experienced safety group in the league with Rod Moore and Makari Page. And then the addition in the return of Cujo, Quinton Johnson, who made a bunch of big plays for U of M. He would be a starter at most places. So absolutely, they are good there. Okay, Jerry, we are going to, in a few minutes, make way for Josh Henske, the publisher of the Maize and Blue Review, who's standing by, ready to do an emergency pod with what's going on with Michigan basketball. But we want to get to two things. One, hockey, which we'll get to straight ahead. And then we also want to talk about that third phase of a football team. We've talked offense and defense. We go to special teams. Michigan has a new special teams coordinator named J.B. Brown, who was at Michigan as an analyst for 3 years. He will have in the kicking game Tommy Doman, who was excellent last year, but they will need a new place kicker. And they've got a freshman. They did bring in a transfer in addition to Turner, who might have another year. Holland back, I'm not sure, but special teams often overlooked, especially by the fans, Jerry. What can you say in terms of special teams in spring ball and how that works into the equation?
First of all, I want to give a shout-out to Corey G. I appreciate that, Corey. That was awfully nice of you to say that. I don't know if that's the case, but I appreciate it, though. Special teams. You got Doman. You got the punter coming back. That would – remember how many games he kind of saved for us with that punt. And Ohio State had great punts against Ohio State, changed the field position once, I remember. Maryland, same thing, puts the ball inside the five. So our punting game is gonna should be good. Remember, your special teams. Yeah, you're talking about your kicker, your punter, your snapper, your holder. But the big part, another big part of that is the other guys that go along with it. And so I think our talent should be high. One thing I will say about our special teams, I want to see Shamaj Morgan be able to catch the ball more effectively on the punt return, because he could be a dynamic weapon in that punt return. He could be outstanding. And that's one thing I would like to come out of spring ball and see, that we've got somebody back there that can be a weapon.
Well, what a great point. Shamaj Morgan, I want to say he busted on the scene of the Big Ten championship game, but he did have an 87-yard punt return, and that was the first one that he had returned all year long, so everybody opened their eyes there. But then in the Rose Bowl, he muffed that one. So, you know, he did great, and then, you know, not so great. So, you know, he has the ability, but he's just a true freshman that you put in there as well. So some great experience, you know, there. So I'm with you on Shamaj Morgan. Great job, Jerry. The Michigan hockey team is in the Big Ten tournament. They swept Notre Dame last week, and now they are off to Minnesota to play the Gophers. The Gophers are the 3 seed, so they have the home ice. Michigan's the 4 seed. If you have the Big Ten Network, the game will be on TV tomorrow, which is a great thing. And Michigan and Minnesota, they're two very similar teams. They are excellent offensively. I mean, it is as entertaining of hockey as you can get. And it reminds me, the last broadcast that I did for Michigan hockey, I was filling in 4 years ago as a color analyst on selected games. And almost 4 years to the date, I went to the Mariucci Center in Minneapolis to call the game with Al Randall. And Michigan ended up taking both games against the Gophers. The following week, it was going to be the Big Ten semifinals, like it is tomorrow. And yet Michigan was headed to where the Columbus Blue Jackets play to take on Ohio State. And we were leaving on a Friday, and then on a Thursday, they canceled the NCAA tournament. They canceled the hockey tournament because of the pandemic, and the rest is history. But I'll always remember that last one against Minnesota. And then, of course, I was on my way to Ohio State, and then they canceled the whole thing, and we never got to see them and how that was going to go. So that happened, but it'll be a very entertaining hockey. And, you know, Michigan, if they were able to win this one and then, you know, obviously get to the championship game, that would be great. And then you're talking about getting into the Frozen Four tournament the following week. So it's that time of year in basketball and in hockey. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than the NCAA tournament in basketball, in my mind, and there is nothing better than the Frozen Four hockey tournament either. And it's nice when Michigan's playing in both, and they're looking pretty good to be playing in the Frozen, in the hockey tournament. Obviously, they're not going to be playing in the basketball tournament. That's why they've got a new coach, or they're going to be looking for a new coach, Jerry.
Well, I was at the Frozen Four last year, Denny.
Oh, were you?
Yes, I was. And I was with Mark Champ and DeMartino, John DeMartino. And what a blast I had. And what an exciting, exciting event. That was great being in Tampa, and really enjoyed it. Michigan hockey's always right there. So,
well, it reminds me, Jerry, I do have to ask you this, because I got a call and a text from a former Wolverine who said, ask Jerry what he thinks of Jose Altuve. And I thought, well, that's a really odd request. Why somebody would be asking me what Jerry thinks of an Astros second baseman and Jose Altuve. But then he said, yeah, well, you know, ask him about some of the other players on the Astros as well. Jerry will have a pretty good idea about him. So I don't know, Jerry, I'm asking you the question. What do you think of Jose Altuve?
Well, I was at the Astros Marlins spring practice the other day with John Arbuznik and Rob Chumet, former, and Bob Lentz. Bob Lentz was the guy who created the Pixar characters with Buzz Lightyear.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I spent a day with three great Michigan alum and Altuve. I couldn't believe how small he was. My gosh, he's short. He can't be more than 5'7", 5'8".
He's listed at 5'6". I wouldn't be surprised if he was 5'5".
I wouldn't be. I would not be. But boy, can he hit, and he can move, and very impressive. You can see why, you know, you could say the same thing. Astros stealing sides. No, they got a pretty good team. They got a pretty good freaking team, okay?
Look at Jerry. Comes in, talks about football. We throw him a curve at the beginning, so he's going to talk about basketball. And then another curve at the end. I'm getting him into hockey. He was at the Frozen Four last year. And then to complete the sports, you know, I throw him the ultimate curveball and actually ask him about baseball, and then he handles it like a pro. Nice job.
One more shout out to John Hostgindia. Last week he told me, he goes, hey, you got to mention the Trenton Byron Center Bulldog hockey finals in high school. And so I'm doing that now. Congratulations to the Bulldogs who beat the Trojans of Trenton. Haas, a great friend of mine, Vinny DeFelice, they're both alumni from Trenton High School. Sorry, guys, we got you this year.
There you go. Great stuff, Jerry. We look forward to talking with you again. Michigan will be into spring ball, so maybe we'll be able to talk about some practice. The big news, Juwan Howard out as Michigan. We will have an emergency pod coming up shortly here on the Maize and Blue Review. Jerry, great talking with you.
Great dealing with you, Denny. I love working with you and love the fans out there. Love the comments. Hail to the victors.
There it is. Smash that like button. Emergency pod coming up next. And